All right, if you take God's precious word and turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 14. Proverbs, chapter 14, Lord willing, we'll be expounding verse 6. Looking here at the people who are signed in tonight and ones who've commented. If you don't comment, then I don't always know you're there, but when you comment, I see your names, and when I see you on here, it's like looking out here in the pew and seeing you in the pew to me. Very precious to me, and I've looked at every one of you all tonight. And we've learned a great deal in the book of Proverbs so far about scorners. And tonight, we're going to learn a little bit more. And as we read our verse tonight, we'll see three things that a scorner does. If you're taking notes, three things that a scorner does. I'll give them to you now. Number one, a scorner scorns. A scorner scorns. Number two, a scorner seeks. A scorner seeks. Number three, a scorner strikes out. A scorner strikes out. Give you time to get that written down. Now for our first point, a scorner scorns. Look in your text tonight, it says a scorner. To scorn is to mock. Have you ever seen a video of a Christian trying to witness to someone on the street and that person is mocking the Christian? Maybe it's Charlie Kirk, or maybe it's someone that's out witnessing on the street and you see someone mocking that Christian. It was a little while back, there was a video of an abortion doctor. Kind of an oxymoron putting the two together, but he was a medical doctor who performed abortions, and there was a Christian outside his clinic, and he went over and was mocking the Christian before he went in to perform his murders. And it's sad. They mock the Christian. They berate them. They make fun of them. They laugh at them. And they speak to them as if the Christian is stupid. That's a scorner. Here's how you can find a scorner in a crowd. And I guarantee you, every one of y'all have seen a scorner. Here's how you can find a scorner in a crowd. A scorner will be the person who's wrong about a subject that's ridiculing the person who's right. A scorner is the person that's wrong about a subject, and they're ridiculing the person who's right. A scorner postures himself as the expert while speaking to the expert as if he is a fool. But mocking the truth doesn't make it a lie. You can mock the truth all you want to. It's still going to be the truth. Mocking the truth doesn't make it a lie. It simply makes scorners foolish for doing so. The devil scorns the truth. Do you know why he does it? He scorns the truth in hopes of discouraging people from believing it. People don't want to be mocked. They don't want to be laughed at. And so a scorner is a good deterrent to someone believing the truth. They say, well, I don't want to believe that. I sure don't want to profess I believe that. I don't want people making fun of me. You see, the world believes that a lie will become the truth if only they can get enough people to believe it. I mean, that's really how the world thinks, that the lie will become the truth if they can just get enough people to believe the lie. If they can just get enough people to agree that the lie is true, and then, voila, we've made it true. That's what they do and try to do with the sexual gender issues, the gender identity. They want us to agree and to affirm the gender-affirming care. You agree with us that this man really is a woman, that this woman really is a man. And if we can get everybody to agree, then he or she will be a man or a woman. That's why the world tries so hard to force their lies down our throat. What the scorner wants is this. They want indoctrination to result in validation. They want their indoctrination of their lie to result in that lie's validation. But you can scorn the truth and you can believe a lie all you want to, but that lie will still be a lie. A scorner scorns. Number two, a scorner seeks. A scorner seeks. As strange as it may sound, a scorner, look in your text, seeketh wisdom. You would think, well, a scorner doesn't seek wisdom. But a scorner does seek wisdom. It says so right here. And it's both sad and amazing at the same time that a scorner seeks wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22 says, "For the Jews require sign, and Greeks," what? "Seek after wisdom." And the Jews and the Greeks were mentioned by the Apostle Paul in contrast to the believers. The Jews represented the Jewish unbelievers. The Greeks represented the Gentile unbelievers. And when it came to Gentiles, when it came to the nations of the world, Paul said, they seek after wisdom. Just as our proverb says tonight, Gentiles want wisdom. Don't ever make the mistake of thinking that unbelievers don't want wisdom. They do. They want wisdom. The unbelieving world wants wisdom. The world seeks wisdom as a blind man seeks his sight. And we'll say that again. The world, the unbelieving world, seeks wisdom as a blind man seeks his sight. If you'll notice, when the world talks about Christians, when the unbelieving world talks about Christians, have you noticed how they posture themselves? They speak as if they are the more educated group and that the Christians are the less educated. The Christians are the more ignorant, or as one would say, they're clinging to their guns and Bibles. You know, they're not quite as sophisticated, not quite as updated on knowledge as the unbelievers are. They'll speak to us as if we're a bunch of superstitious, ignorant people. They laugh at us when we state that the earth is only 6,000 years old. They laugh at us when we say that evolution is a farce and that God created everything. And when they laugh at us, they are scorning us. They scorn our godly wisdom, all while seeking and gaining the devilish wisdom of this world. And that's why a scorner seeks wisdom. But look back in your text. And our third point now, a scorner strikes out. A scorner strikes out. Solomon said, a scorner seeks wisdom, look in your text, and findeth it not. Think of wisdom for a moment as water. And think of God as the well. Because God is the source of all true wisdom. So think of wisdom as water and think of God as the well. Because God created man to be the custodian of his wisdom, you understand he did. God created you and me to be the custodians of his wisdom. He made us so that his spirit would indwell in our spirit, thus his wisdom would dwell in our hearts. And then we would live and serve by the wisdom of God, being inspired creatures. So, God creating us to be the custodian of his wisdom, there is a natural thirst in man for God's wisdom. Every man, every woman has a natural thirst for wisdom because we were created to be the custodians of God's wisdom. But Though a man thirst for wisdom like water, he will never find it as long as he scorns the well. See how that works? Years ago, somebody wrote a song called Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places. And a scorner looks for wisdom in all the wrong places. The well of wisdom is in front of him. And that well, God bids that man, God bids that scorner to come and drink from his well. But that unbeliever scorns the well. The unbeliever mocks the water inside it. And to his own destruction, he attempts to quench his thirst with the dryness of this fallen world. I was watching a really sad interview this morning of William Shatner. He played Captain Kirk on Star Trek, or T.J. Hooker, and many, many other things he's played in. He's in his 90s now, and he's still in relatively good health for being as old as he is. And he considers himself an educated man. And it was so sad. They were interviewing him about his life and about death, because he's knocking on death's door in his 90s. And he talked about how afraid he was to die. And how he says, I don't want to go. And so it looked like he was holding back tears as he was talking. He said to help alleviate that pain, he's left instructions so that when they bury him in a grave, they are to plant a tree on top of him so that the roots will go down into his body and feed on his body, and then he'll become part of that tree. He says, that gives me much comfort in thinking about that. You know what's going to happen to that tree? It's going to die too. It's going to get rotten eventually. Wind's going to blow it over. He'll be right back, and there'll be little old wood bugs eating him up then. But to an unbeliever, that's wisdom to them. That's the only hope that man has this side of the grave, is that the tree roots will come and feed on him, and he'll become part of that tree. Very sad. The only hope. Listen, without Jesus Christ, there is no hope. But see, he said, that thought gives me much comfort. See, that's the wisdom of this world. He is trying to quench his thirst with the dryness of this fallen world, and it's not going to quench it. The man says, aren't you curious about what happens after death? He said, not enough to die for it. And I thought, I was just heartbroken for him. But you know how you get to be 90 years old? Instead of hoping in the Son of God who hung on a tree, you hope that a tree will eat you by scorning the truth. That's how people get there. But they think we are the weak ones because we're clinging to God. And here they are looking at a tree root as their Savior. To his own destruction, he attempts to quench his thirst with the dryness of this fallen world. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it explains it in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 through 24. It explains how it works. Paul said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. You can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to people who are in unbelief and who are perishing because they've rejected God's word. You can preach the cross to them all day long, and to them it's foolishness. It's something for them to scorn. We hear the preaching of the cross, it's life, it's joy, it's peace, it's confidence. But to them it's foolishness. He says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. In other words, the Greeks, the Gentiles, and their godless wisdom. He says, I'm going to destroy that false wisdom and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. That is, the people who profess themselves to be wise and prudent, he will destroy what is their belief is wisdom and prudence. Then he goes on to say in verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Yes, he has. For after that, in the wisdom of God, verse 21, the world by wisdom knew not God. In other words, God let them be so smart, think themselves to be so wise, that in their self-conceited, God-denying wisdom, it is that very wisdom that keeps them from obtaining wisdom. He said, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So the gospel may be foolish to them, but it's water to us. For the Jews require a sign, he said, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, a stumbling block. They just can't get past that foolishness. And unto the Greeks, just foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. The apostle James said in James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of whom? God. In other words, if any of you thirst for wisdom, let him go to the well. And that well is God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. God said in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 13, he said, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Greeks seek after wisdom, but they won't go to the well to get it. He said, you'll seek me and you'll find me when you search for me with all of your heart. But instead of seeking God, they mock him. And this leaves them high in their mind and dry in their spirit. They seek water, but denying the well, they find it not. In Proverbs chapter 1, verses 23 through 26, God tells the scorner, turn you at my reproof, in other words, my correction. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have said it not, or considered nothing worth their time, all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. Or would have none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear comes. The scorner scorns. The scorner seeks. The scorner strikes out. Look back in your text. But knowledge, Solomon says, is easy to him that has understanding. Knowledge is easy unto him that has understanding. In the Hebrew, that word easy literally means light, something easy to pick up. I was going to pick up a package. If I see a woman trying to carry what I think may be heavy at work, I'll try to pick it up. Unless they try to act like a man, then they can have it. But if they're a lady, I'll try to pick it up for them. And it wasn't that long ago, I was going to pick one up, and the lady said, oh, no, this is light, I got it. And that's what it means here. It's light. It's unto him that has understanding. It means it's not too heavy for him to take hold of. and pick it up and possess it as his own. Knowledge is light like that. It's not hard to pick up and say, oh, well, there's knowledge right there. Oh, I'm not sure I can take this home with me. Someone who has understanding, knowledge is light. Wisdom is light. It's easy to pick up and grab and claim as your own. Why is it light to us who understand? Because we understand that the water we need comes from the well that created us. That's why. Who is Jesus Christ? Jesus is the well. Jesus is the water of life. Jesus is our great creator. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Listen now, take my yoke upon you. That is, you take my service, my burden upon you. And the only way to serve God is in faith. In wisdom. It's the only way. You have to have faith to serve God, and faith believes God's word, and God's word is God's wisdom. And so the wisdom of God and the faith of man go hand in hand, because the faith appropriates the wisdom. And Jesus said, you take my yoke upon you and learn, you see that? Learn of me. Knowledge is easy. Learning is easy to him who has understanding. He said, you take my yoke upon you and you learn of me. He says, I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is, here's our word in Proverbs tonight, easy. And my burden is, here's the definition of our word in Proverbs tonight, light. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Your knowledge of me is something that's going to be easy for you to pick up and take home and possess as your own. So that while the world is out straining, trying to reach and grasp for some type of wisdom they can hang on to, some type of wisdom that can give them hope beyond the grave, hope that they can deal with the thought of death when that time comes, and they're grasping for it. And they're trying to tote it around throughout life, and the closer they get to the grave, the heavier it gets. He says, you learn of me. And when you learn of me, that is going to be easy. It's going to be light. And boy, is it ever. Is it ever easy and light? Knowledge is easy. Knowledge is light to those who understand that Jesus is the answer that man is searching for. It's easy to get a drink of water when you understand where water comes from. When a man understands his need of Christ, instead of mocking the well, he will drink from it. Lord, we thank you so much for your precious word. Thank you most of all for your precious well. You've given Jesus, you said, Christ, the wisdom of God and the power of God. You've given Christ to us to be our wisdom. Christ becomes the well to which men go to drink knowledge and wisdom. And though the wise of this world scoff at it, the poor and the needy and those considered foolish by this world are invited to come and drink and obtain the true knowledge that gives everlasting life. We thank you for that, Father, so much. Thank you for not being a closed well, but being open to us all. And unlike the shallow wells, Lord, of our lives here on this earth, Lord, your well is deep and it never runs dry and it always tastes good. We thank you in Jesus' precious name. Please give everyone a safe trip back home tonight. We pray again for all the prayer requests that were made tonight. And we ask your grace and blessings, and we praise you again for the praises that were mentioned as well. In Jesus' name, amen.